Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. It is 6:22 on a called sweltering Monday evening here in Lansing. Thank you for joining us. Well, it's moving, and it is moving fast. Legislation to phase out the personal property tax on business has cleared the state Senate and is likely to pass through the House. And no question, the governor, Snyder, will in fact sign it. So what about the municipalities? What will they do as they see revenues diminish as the tax goes away? To get their perspective, I'm joined by Andy Shore, Assistant Director for State Affairs for the Michigan Municipal League, also an Ingham County Commissioner and a candidate, some say front runner, for the 68th State House District seat. Andy, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an interesting list you throw out there, but it's all true.
It is, yeah. What are you sleeping 4 hours a night at this point?
Something like that.
That sounds pretty intense. So let's begin with this issue, the PPT tax going away. I had Dan Gilmartin, the executive director of the Michigan Municipal League, on the program in March. You know, he did not want to directly talk about a revenue replacement for the PPT. He said the league is not involved in the process and they don't want to start suggesting replacements. Has that changed? Does the league now have a viewpoint on how this revenue should be replaced?
Well, it hasn't changed. You know, we said that the legislature is looking at eliminating this tax. They need to figure out how they're going to pay for it without killing communities, and that hasn't changed. And the governor has proposed a solution where they're going to take the alleged dollars from the battery credits that are expiring and use those to reimburse. Now, we've the whole time said, no, 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 we won't support anything that's not something that's going to guarantee the money to come back. And we've kind of hung tight on that. And now there's an interesting solution proposed in the state Senate last week that I'd say got a good chunk of the way towards what we need. And because of that, you know, we were willing to kind of quiet down and talk to them because they were interested in talking all of a sudden.
So are you saying that the current compromise, as it is, are you happy with it? And can you describe it briefly?
Sure. The current compromise is... they did a few things with money to make sure that locals are actually getting reimbursed because the existing bills were all out of whack. But the important piece was for the reimbursement, they put in language saying that if at any time in the future, if the reimbursement was not fully funded, 100% funded, the fund was not 100% appropriated, the personal property tax would come back. So, you know, for the business community, they would have an incentive to ensure that this gets fully funded and fully appropriated, because if it didn't, then their members would be responsible to pay a personal property tax. They called it a repealer. The law that they would pass now automatically repeals if it's not fully funded. You know, and our biggest complaint is with revenue sharing over the last many years. You know, we started out the local units of government getting $1 billion in revenue sharing. That's down to $200 million now because the legislature and the governors have picked it apart over the last 10 years. And now you see communities struggling and can't fund services and ask for local taxes because they're $800 million in the red.
When you look at cities like Lansing, do you have any sense of just how much revenue loss or how much revenue is actually brought in by the PPT on business?
You know, I don't know the exact number directly. I know there are about 100 communities or so in the state that are affected by this, of our members. There are 100 cities and villages that are affected by this. We've got a total of 535 members. It greatly varies by city or village. You know, a city like Warren or Lansing or somebody with a bigger manufacturing base, or Litchfield, which is a small city on the west side of the state. So a city with a bigger manufacturing base relies on this. The city of Midland, it's like 35-40% somewhere around there for their budget. Other communities, like a bedroom community, Huntington Woods, or maybe even a DeWitt, you know, they don't rely on it as much, so they, you know, it's not that big of a deal to them because they don't have the same manufacturing base. So it just depends on
the... You're saying the league is actually happy with the current version of the bill and you're supporting its passage?
We're not supporting it. I wouldn't say we're happy. I wouldn't say we're supporting it. I'd say we're neutral on it as it passed the Senate. We recognize that the senators came a pretty far away from where they started, and we recognize that, so we were neutral on it. Our board came together and had a discussion and made a decision that they would be neutral to recognize the Senate's progress, but that we were going to the House and push to make more changes. And the one thing I'll disagree with you on that you started with is that that it's flying through so quickly. I mean, it passed the Senate, but now it looks like the House is going to slow it down and hold it potentially until after the election, at least till after the summer, and if not till after the election, which puts it on the table, you know, a few months now.
I see. Well, in fact, if it is after the election, you may very well be in the House when that comes up. And in fact, Harold Lehman is now running. He's a former Lansing City Council member, announced he is now running for the 68th State House District seat. Councilmember Aylin Robinson, along with your colleague and County Commissioner Dale Kobach, are in the race. What do you think of the current field of candidates?
You know, I knew it would be a big field. I think it's up to 7 now is what I've heard. I'm doing my thing. You know, we've raised about $65,000. We're out in the community. I'm out knocking doors and at meetings, and I'm doing my thing. You know, I'm doing what I got to do to win and put it in the voters' hands and let them decide. I think that there are a lot of great public servants out there, but I think that, you know, my experience will get the job done, you know, on day one for Lansing, and that's what I put out there to the voters, and we'll see what they decide.
And if you do get in, though, are you ready to join a minority Democratic group in the state house? Tell me, what kind of things would you be able to accomplish as a freshman minority member?
Well, first, I don't yield that point so quickly. If I'm victorious on August 7th in the Democratic primary, I'm going to be working to get a majority of Democrats in the House. I'd like to see Democrats take back the House, and I do think it's possible. To answer your question directly, which I guess politicians don't usually do, yeah, I do think I can get quite a bit done as a freshman member if I'm in the minority. You know, I've got relationships on both sides of the aisle, supported by half the Democratic caucus, but I've also got relationships on the other side, on the Republican side, where, you know, I'll hold to my Democratic beliefs and fight them where I gotta fight them, but if there's something that's non-controversial that can help out Lansing, I'll be able to get that through because I know the folks on the other side of the aisle. I've worked with them the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got that relationship. So
I see.
You know, I'm going to be successful either way, but my hope is in the majority.
So you've worked with both sides of the aisle. Then would you say that you are not particularly outraged by what Republicans have done in Michigan here in the past year?
No, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I am outraged. I wouldn't go as far as saying I'm not outraged. I think that they, you know, for the first time in 10, 15 years, they've 10 years, they've got the full majority. They've got the Senate, the House, and the governor's office. And, you know, I think they've gone a little too far. So I am outraged. And again, that's the reason we need to take the House back, because we need to have, you know, a blocker. We need to have someone who can stand up and say, you know, we're not going to attack workers, and we're not going to attack teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to help out communities. You know, if they're going to eliminate tax credits, we need to make sure that we're still helping the communities and the seniors. And so, no, I think that that they have gone a bit too far.
Well,
I'd like to get in there.
I'll certainly want to have you on to break it all down. Andy Shore, Assistant Director for State Affairs for the Michigan Municipal League, also Ingham County Commissioner and candidate for the 68th State House District seat. Andy, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Coming up next, can children be psychopaths? You're about to find out. That's next. This is 1320 WILS.